Let's turn tonight in our Bibles, please, to the New Testament and to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. And we're reading together from verse number 1. Romans 5, verse number 1, let us hear God's holy word. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Amen. We will end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to your hearts for his name's sake. Our meditation tonight is verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's just unite our hearts again in prayer. And every believer really laying hold on God. This time now will come and it'll go. Therefore, we need the Lord. Soon the final amen will be said. There's dear people in this meeting, and you haven't Christ, and you've no peace with God, and you're not in the family of God, and you're not on your way to heaven. And that is most solemn at this point, to realize that. And therefore, let's all who know and love him pray. Seek the face of God just now and call upon him. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and by his precious blood, we again in these moments draw near to the throne of grace and of mercy. And we give ourselves afresh to thee, and we surrender this meeting in its entirety. And O God, I confess before thy holy throne, and before this gathered congregation, that I am in great need of thy help. I confess my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and my sin. Forgive it and wash me now in the blood of Christ. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. And for a season may I be a vessel filled with thy power and by thy Spirit. O God, grant that heavenly anointing. O God, grant that holy baptism. Lord, visit us tonight. Bind the devil in these moments. Come and glorify your own dear Son. And hear our prayers upon your holy throne in heaven. Father, there's not one worthy here that you answer this, but Christ is worthy. Look upon the face of thine anointed. Remember the church for which he died. And for his sake, bless us tonight. And gather sinners into it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Romans for 25 years had been spreading through the Roman world when Paul, the great preacher of the word and missionary of the cross, wrote this epistle, the book of the Romans. As the gospel spread, many Christian churches came into existence, and Rome at this time, in it, there were many converts, many Jews had been turned to faith in Jesus Christ, many Gentiles also. And therefore, the early converts that Paul was writing to here would have been made up of both converted Jews and converted Gentiles. Now, it's believed that Paul wrote this letter just before he made his final journey to Jerusalem. It was also believed that he wrote the letter from the city of Corinth. The central theme of the book of Romans has been noted by many men of God and scholars to be God's way of salvation. In this epistle, Paul deals with subjects such as justification by grace through faith, justification, establishing our union with Christ producing holiness of life, and holiness of life fitting us for Christian service. But tonight, as we turn to this fifth chapter, to these words that we have read in this chapter, what marvelous words they are. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Or what about those words that the chapter begins with? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you're unsaved in this meeting. I want to just say something to you right at this moment. There is such a thing in your heart as peace with God. Peace with God. Enmity broken down. Sin put away. And bringing you into that relationship where you have that peace with God, a reality of it in your own soul. And right now in this meeting, unsaved friend, thank you for coming. I mean that. But you need to understand at this moment you don't have peace with God. And when you don't have peace with God, it matters little about what sort of relationship you have with anybody else. Because you don't have peace with the Almighty. You don't have peace with God. And yet in this portion we see that there is such a thing as peace with God. And you need it. Because the book of Romans, before Paul ever dealt with those great doctrines of justification, sanctification, adoption, peace with God, sins forgiven, he said this in Romans 1 verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Oh yes, before God or before Paul ever dealt with the great doctrines of the faith, he revealed in the pages of Holy Scripture in this book, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And to take the words of that holy man, Job, sinner, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke. And then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. But sinner, we rejoice tonight. There is peace with God. There is the love of God. And that's this 8th verse that I want to look at. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sinner, for a person like you, God sent his Son to die. And we are going to see tonight that that is the marvel of God's love. The cross of Christ, the marvel of God's love. That's what I want to speak on tonight, really from this 8th verse, God's amazing love. God's amazing love. The first thing I want to show you is that the reality of God's love. The reality of God's love. God's love is revealed throughout the pages of Scripture. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, whenever we read of the Lord speaking of his ancient people Israel, he said this, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you." Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. Or Isaiah 41, verse 13, we read, "Since thou was precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee." Or Jeremiah 31, verse 3, based on that hymn that we have just sung, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Or Zephaniah 3, verse 17, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love." Marvelous words, marvelous texts throughout the old Scriptures. And of course, it's not exhaustive. There are many texts, the Old Testament Scriptures, that reveal to sinners the love of God, that there is the love of God. Think of the New Testament. "For God so loved the world." Or our text, God commendeth his love toward us. Or 1 John 4 verse 8, where John, that beloved apostle, says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. The love of God, John felt it, he knew it, he believed it. Or Romans 8, 38 and 39, those great words that comfort the child of God in their trials, yea, and have comforted a child of God on many a deathbed across this world, as dear people of God faced eternity. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, and the list goes on, shall not be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, the love of God is a doctrine revealed in the pages of Holy Scripture. The love of God is of God. It's one of his communicable attributes. That's what it is. It's a display of his goodness and his mercy, communicable in that men can receive it and possess it by a lesser degree. The love of God. The love of God, sinner. God so loved the world. God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, what a marvel that there is such a reality that God would ever love a sinner. And yet the Bible makes it clear he does. He loved sinners and sent Christ to die for them. The reality of God's love, the Scriptures reveals it. Scriptures reveals it. What about some facts about God's love? God's love is eternal. Some glorious truths about the love of God. God's love is eternal because God is eternal. Dear believer, I want you to understand this. There is never going to be a moment in your experience when God will not love you. As God is eternal, his love is eternal towards you. God is love. His love is sovereign because the cause of God's love lies with and in God himself. He loves us because he loves us. It's also unmeasurable. Let me tell you what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. He's speaking to those Ephesian believers, and he was reminding them of what they had once been before Christ saved them, before grace reached them, before the Lord had saved them and brought them into his kingdom. And he tells them they were dead in trespasses and sins. But then he says about God's great love. He says, God's great love wherewith he loved you. That word great, it just means that the love of God towards his people is unmeasurable. Unmeasurable. Our minds can't take it in. Oh, it's the glories of the doctrine of God's love towards his people. And dear believer, you understand this. Let these truths sink into your heart. God's love is also immutable. God loves you today. He loves you tomorrow, believer. And he loves you forever. Because no change Jehovah knows. His love has been set upon you. And God doesn't love you, as I've said many times before, on the basis of you living the Christian life. God loves you in Christ. And therefore, he cannot love you any more than he does love you. He loves you in Christ. Believer, he loves you eternally. He loves you today. He loves you tomorrow. He loves you forever. And that is the love in which his people rest. God's love. Displayed in Scripture. It's revealed in the Word of God. A world where everything changes, the Bible tells us no change. Jehovah knows, and that includes his love. But what about the display of that love? Because that's where we come to here. Romans 5, verse 8. Look at that text with me. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, you could read it. God displayed his love for us. You see, true love will always reveal itself. True love will always manifest itself. It will always show itself. And what we're seeing here in verse 8 is this. God's love is not only a theoretical truth. God's love was displayed. But the marvel of it, the marvel of God's love is that it was uninfluenced by anything in us. Anything in us. You see, the marvel of God's love is seen and that there was nothing in the sinner to attract God. Instead, everything to repel him. God loves sinners. Sent his Son to die for sinners. And I tell you, sinner friend, that is amazing love. That's what the hymn writer penned. Love so amazing, so divine. And you see the marvel of God's love. The marvel of God's love is seen in the objects of it. When we love God, on our part, we love one who's full of grace and truth. One who's gracious, one who's tender, one who's compassionate, one who's long-suffering. But sinner, it's not so when God loves us. He sees a rebel. He sees one that's fallen. He sees one that's filthy, one that's vile. And what's more, sinner, that display of love toward us, the objects of it, that while we were yet sinners, it was displayed in that Christ died for us. Christ died for us. And sinner, I want you to understand that tonight. God loves sinners, sent his Son to die for sinners, and the cross in Scripture is revealed as that pinnacle of the display of God's love. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, we could fully understand. We could fully understand God loving the elect angels that have never sinned. We can fully understand that. But God loving a sinner like you and I is beyond our understanding. We worship before that truth. And every believer here knows what I mean. We worship before it. We bow before it. We thank God that he ever loved us. But understanding that he ever loved us, we do not. The Bible reveals he loved us because he loved us. Oh, it's not a marvel, listen. It's not a marvel that Abraham would have been the friend of God. The marvel of all marvels is that God would ever have been a friend of Abraham. Our Lord came into this world, went about doing good. It was said of him he was the friend of publicans and sinners. It's not the marvel that publicans and sinners would have been the Lord's friend. It's the marvel that the Lord would ever have been their friend. But sinner, he came. Our Lord came into this world, display of God's love, the wonder of it, seen in the unworthiness of its objects. Oh yes, if Christ had died for the righteous, we'd have understood it. Maybe. But Christ dying for sinners, it's the wonder of all wonders. It's the marvel of grace. And here's Paul, and he's writing to these believers, and he's telling them of this great display of God's love. God displayed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, Calvary was the supreme expression of the Father's love. At the cross, we see the Father's love and majesty toward us in his glory. We also see this, that wrath and love coexisted in the same person. Christ upon that cross bore our sins in his own body to the tree. Upon that cross, the Father poured out his wrath upon the sin bearer, upon the one, his own beloved, the one that took our guilt, the one that took our sin. And what Paul's telling us here, what happened at Calvary was the ultimate display of the love of God towards sinners. Oh, sinner, understand that. We have sang that hymn tonight of Thomas Kelly's, inscribed upon the cross we see. Shining letters, God is love. He bears our sins upon a tree. He brings us mercy from above. But listen, whenever Christ was upon that cross, shedding that blood, the wrath of God poured out upon him, it was a display of love. Display of love. The wrath of God, yes, was sin, but also the love of God. You see, we must not confuse wrath with hate. Wrath is judicial. the wrath of God poured out upon the sin bearer because of the Father's love for the sinner. What a marvelous scene. What a display of infinite love. God's holiness vindicated. Its demand satisfied there at Calvary, that God might be just and the justifier of a sinner like you. Unsaved friend in this meeting, you need to begin to look at what happened at Calvary. You need to get to the cross. You need to see that at that cross, it was the ultimate display of God's love. Oh, what love that brought the eternal Son to take into union with his Godhead, our humanity, left the throne for the manger. I tell you, it was love. For God to walk upon this scene of time, I tell you, it was love and feet of clay. For 33 years in his ministry, in his life of perfect obedience, went about doing good, healing all oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I tell you, it was love. And then he went to Calvary, to that lonely brow, to Calvary's cross. Oh, sinner, grasp this. Golgotha's brow, Calvary's hill. Listen, Calvary's hill was not the basis upon which God loves you. Calvary's hill was the display that God did love you and sent his Son to die for you. But the question is this, sinner, what will you do with such love? That's the question. Calvary's a display of God's love. Love so amazing, so divine. The Father sent the Son. The Son came in love. The Holy Ghost filled the Son in love. As he went to that cross, I tell you, sinner, what love the Trinity had for sinners. And that is the marvel of all marvels. The Father sent the Son in love. The Son came in love and died in love. And the Holy Ghost filled him in love. Do you know, sinner friend, let me put it to you like this. When you're troubled in your soul about your sin, that is an expression of God's love toward you. It was the love of God for me the night I trembled in my sin. And every believer in this meeting understands that. When God troubled your heart about your sin, it was love. You were being drawn with the cords of love. You were being drawn for pardon. You were being drawn for forgiveness. You were being drawn to the fountain open for sin and uncleanness. I tell you, sinner friend, this world has never seen a display of love like Calvary. You think of our Lord's prayer upon that cross as he bears the wrath of a sin-hating God. And this display of love, think of his prayer. Father, forgive them. Forgive the drunkard. Forgive the adulterer. Forgive the thief. Forgive the immoral. Forgive whatever sinner you want to name, friend. Christ, in those moments of darkness and prayer to his Father, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Oh, dear people, understand this. And I'll say it again. The world stage has never seen a demonstration of love like that. Love that was divine. The love of God for a sinner. We can stand in a pulpit. We can go to a street corner. We can go into a deathbed. We can go to a prison cell. We can say, listen, friend, God loves sinners. And the ultimate display of it was the cross of Calvary. God displayed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, the question, sinner, what will you do with such love? That's the question. God commend of his love toward us. God displayed it. Holy, divine, pure, unadulterated, harmless, sacrificial love all toward the sinner. But the question is this, what will you do with it? Now, since God commended his love toward sinners, sinner, you've got to see your lost estate. Since God displayed his love toward sinners and sent Christ to die for them, you've got to see, sinner, you needed somebody to die for you. Because there's wrath. Somebody had to bear it. And sinner, because Christ was sent by the Father to seek and save that which is lost, then sinner, it's time to see your lost condition. Now I look across this congregation tonight, and I see souls, different ages. But it's time to see yourself as God sees you, a sinner, lost, on your way to eternal ruin. And yet we're looking at a text tonight that declares to you from Holy Writ that God displayed his love toward a sinner like you at the cross of Calvary, and that Christ died for the sin of a sinner like you. That you could go free. That you might be saved and washed in holy blood. That you might find this peace with God tonight. Man, you need peace with God. I tell you on authority of that book, don't die without it. Don't die without it. You die without peace with God, sinner friend, you'll never have peace with God. You were born in Adam as I was, but let's just think about that. What a portion Adam left as posterity. Sin and misery, on their way to wrath and eternal ruin. This world, a vale of tears. But what a portion Christ left for all who come to him. Forgiveness, pardon, love, grace, peace with God. I tell you, sinner, but here's the point. Everybody either dies in Adam or dies in Christ. You either die in what Adam left you, or you die in what Christ purchased. You'll either die and go to hell, or you'll die encapsulated in the love and mercy and tender grace of God. Because you'll either die in Adam or you'll die in Christ. Now, which one will it be? God commend of his love. It's a marvel that it's revealed. God displayed it. He displayed it at the cross. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ shed his blood that washes away sin. Christ turned away divine wrath from all who trust him. There are dear folks in this meeting, and there's people gathered in church services across our country tonight. Listen to me, sinner. Across our country, and they're not all in free Presbyterian churches, but they're gathered. And I tell you this, they will never, ever perish. Because they've entered into Christ. They're encapsulated in God's love and his mercy. And they're held there, and nothing can separate them from it. But oh, what a tragedy. Tonight in the Tomb Road, dear souls that have sung loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace. Oh, this transport all divine. and a love which cannot cease. But you can't say, I am his and he is mine, because you're not his and he's not yours. And if you sung it, you sung a falsehood. And if you sung it, you sung that which there was absolutely no truth in. Because you're not his. And he's not yours. Because you've never entered into Christ. You've never sought him. You've spurned the advances of pure, holy, divine love. And you've spurned it to this moment, and you've rejected it. And you know why you rejected it? You know why you rejected it? You rejected it because you love something else more. Why does the adulterer reject the advances of his wife? Because he's found another love. And he doesn't want to let it go. And sinner, there's a love in your heart. And it's gripped you. And I tell you, you certainly love it. Because for that love, you have rejected divine love to this moment. Whatever that sin is that grips your soul, I tell you, you have some love for it. Because for that love, for the love of whatever that is, or whoever it is, you've rejected the very God of heaven's salvation to this moment. To this moment, you've rejected. God knows what it is. I'll tell you better than that. You have some love for that. Because for that sin, you're on that onward march to hell, and you wouldn't even deny that. You wouldn't even deny that. Well, sinner, what you're seeing tonight is this. That sin has some grip on your life. It's the darling sin. And for that sin, you'll turn away the very love of God to your soul. And for that sin, you'll march onward and downward, and that spiral that you're heading on, oh, man, woman, tonight, I don't know what it is, but you certainly love it. God loves sinners. Sent his son to die for them. The blood of Christ, a display of love. The fountain open for sin and uncleanness, a display of love. But sinner, you'll not wash and be clean. And I tell you, that's also a display of love. It's a display that in your heart there's a sin, and it's black and it's dark and it's devilish. And you absolutely adore it. And you're not going to let it go. You're not going to let it go. Man, woman, listen to me. Let go of it. Let go of it before it damns ye. We're dealing here with reality. We're dealing here with solemn, serious matters. There's only one reason any individual spurns love from anyone. They love something else more, and they're not prepared to give it up. Well, sinner friend, you understand this. You reject the love of God, you reject all that's in God. You reject the cross work of Christ. You perish. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But sinner, friend, you know, and I know, because the book reveals it, and God knows, that there's another love in your heart. I don't know what yours is, but I tell you, whatever it is or whoever it is, you need to ask yourself a question. You put it in that hand and put hell in that one, because that's what you're keeping that one for, because there's where you're going to end up. You've rejected the advances of divine love. You've sung about the blood. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. You've sung about the blood. You've sung about the cross. You've heard men pray. You've seen a minister's tears. You've maybe even been counseled in your own home. Spoke to by elders, maybe. Spoke to by men of God. You can remember sitting at a Sunday school teacher's knee. Years have went on. And here you are tonight, hearing again God displayed his love. Calvary's the pinnacle of it. Display of God's love. And still you reject. Because you love something more. But sinner, you've got to see that whatever it is and whoever it is taking you to the pit. And there's coming a day, if you lose that soul of yours, there's coming a day when you'll curse your lover for all eternity, whatever it is, you'll curse it. Because for whatever it was, you rejected Christ time and time and time again. There's only one reason anyone rejects the advances of love, and that's they have another love, and they love it more. But sinner, when we come into this area, what you're saying is this: I love my sin. And for that sin, I reject the love of God displayed on Calvary's middle tree. You say, preacher, I wouldn't put it like that. Friend, there's no other way you can put it. Because you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. You're either saved by his grace and washed in his blood and encapsulated in his love, or you're in your sin and you hold that sin. And sinner, it's taking you down. The question is, what are you going to do with such love? What are you going to do? The blood of Christ is a display of love. It'll wash you down. It'll cleanse you in a moment of time. You can come in, you've come into this meeting out of Christ without a Savior. Many a year it's been going on. You can leave this meeting tonight saved by grace, washed in the blood, encapsulated in love, mercy, and grace from the triune God of heaven. Or you'll leave it still in love with whatever it is. And we need to nail it. You love something. Young person, older person. I don't believe, if I talk to every sinner in this meeting one to one, I don't believe any of you would tell me you don't want to be saved someday. I don't believe that. I believe every one of you would. You would say, I know, preacher, I don't want to die like this. But don't you see that's the sure evidence that there's something that's stopping you at this minute? Sinner, you need to understand when God said in His Word, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You need to understand that was said to show you that you don't have tomorrow to guarantee. And there's plenty of people in this meeting without Christ. And God has spared you many a day. And you have heard many a sermon. And there's sinners in this meeting, and they've heard far more sermons than this preacher has heard. Far more. And yet, you spurn and reject the advances of God's love, His mercy, His Son. Sinner, is it not time for you and the darling sin to part company? I think it is. In fact, I don't think one thing about it. I know it is, because God says it is. It's time to part. It's time to part with it. Because I tell you, if you die with it, God parts with you. Depart. That great cursed barrier, sin, ravages through your soul and grips you and lures you. Young person, listen to me tonight in this meeting. Dear friend, listen to me. The world ahead of you, if the Lord spares you. Those lights that lure you, they're designed to damn you. I would be unfaithful to your soul if I told you otherwise. God didn't put those lights there. God didn't open those places. The devil opened them. And He opened them that to dear souls they might be the very doorway to the pit. Oh, I tell you, listen, there's another door. Jesus said, I am the door. You want love, mercy, peace, grace, forgiveness, pardon, joy, life that's worth living? There's the door to go through. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Sinner, what will you do tonight? Let me close. We sang Thomas Kelly's great hymn earlier. Thomas Kelly was born in Dublin the 13th of July, 1769. His father was a judge in the city, and he wanted his son to go into the legal profession. And so Thomas Kelly began to study in Trinity College Dublin to be a lawyer. He studied there for a couple of years, and after he left there, he went to London to continue his studies. But while in London, God saved him, brought him back to Dublin. Desire burning in his soul to serve as God and as Christ. Went into the Christian ministry. The established church kicked him out. Far too strong a preacher. Justification by faith alone and Christ alone. But the great theme of Thomas Kelly's preaching was always God and Christ and the cross. The reconciliation of the sinner to a Savior. And sinner Kelly wrote those words, listen. Inscribed upon the cross we see. Shining letters, God is love. He bears our sins upon the tree. He brings us mercy from above. Christ on that cross brought the very mercy of God to a sinner like you. Shed his blood that'll wash a sinner like you. Provided a righteousness that'll cover a sinner like you. I tell you, is it any wonder John said when speaking of the cross, herein is love. Now, sinner, what are you going to do? Because this love demands right now that you turn from sin and you embrace Christ freely offered in the gospel. As I've said before, and I say it again, friend, the gospel is not take it or leave it. The gospel is come now. Be saved now. Be pardoned. Be washed, be forgiven, be cleansed right now. Sinner, will you come to Christ tonight? Let me ask you something. Before God, every young person, every older person unsaved in the meeting were before God, so listen now. What tonight are you going to do with Jesus Christ right now? Because you're going to do one of two things before God. You're going to reject them, and that's horrific. That's dangerous. You're going to flee to him. You're either going to be saved tonight, or you're going to leave the meeting and you're going to risk being lost eternally. You're going to do something in this meeting. Let's get that clear. You're going to make a decision tonight, sinner, every one of you. Before God's holy face, you're going to make it concerning Christ. You're either going to say, oh God, I'm coming. Save me tonight. Forgive me tonight. And he'll do it. Oh, he's promised to do it. Or you're going to say, no God, not tonight. I tell you, it's dangerous. I'm not scaremongering there. That's dangerous. Because many lost their soul because they said, not tonight.
And unbeknown to them, there was no more nights. It was their final night. Every sinner here now, before the God of heaven, makes a decision about the display of love. You either reject it or you embrace it. God watches on. The angelic host watch on. The demons watch on. You better believe it. They all watch on. As sinners tonight in this meeting, make that decision. Let us bow our hearts and our heads before the Lord. And all the Lord's people praying. Sinner, what will you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Will you come to him? You couldn't be in a better place tonight. You're sitting among drunkards whom the Lord saved. You're sitting among dear only knows who, what sort of sinners people were, but the Lord saved them. You couldn't be in a better place. You should feel at home here. We're all sinners. But many of us can testify that Jesus saves. And his blood washes whiter than snow. And he forgives and he pardons. And he has mercy. And some of you need to be forgiven. You could do nothing better now than just to call on the Lord. Say, Lord, save me. This has went on too long, Lord, save me tonight. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm giving tomorrow to you and the rest of my life to you. I tell you, friend, you can trust him. He'll look after you. He'll keep you. Nothing will separate you from that love you enter into. That love displayed at Calvary. If you want help, speak to me at the door. For that little side door on my right, out that there's a corridor that leads to the minister's room. You just make your way into that room and you wait there. And I'll be there as soon as I shake hands with the people at the door. And it doesn't matter how long it takes, we'll talk all night if we have to. Your soul is more important. Decisions are being made in these moments. Sinner, don't listen to the lie. Every thought now, and I'm saying it again, every thought in your mind that tells you to put this off is from Satan. Let's nail that. Sinner, come to Christ. God has displayed his love in the death of his Son. Are you troubled? Sure sign the Holy Ghost working with you. Sure sign he's drawing you for pardon. Father, take my word. In these moments, bind Satan. Every power of the pit, bind it now. Give sinners grace to come through for God. O God, hear prayer. O God, answer prayer. Hear the prayers of thy Son in that display of love. Father, forgive them. And O God, forgive tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.